Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome. Thank you for spending this time with us. I always like to begin the show with a devotional. And today, the title is Smellin' a Felon. And our scripture is, Do not love the world nor the things in the world. 1 John 2:15. When someone steals something from you, there's a sensation of feeling violated, and you absolutely were. Your trust in humanity has been breached. Something that belonged to you was taken, and you might not ever see it again. Toddlers trust one another with a sweet innocence that is truly heartwarming to witness until one day one little one decides to take another one's toy. The situation goes south real fast. Trust is breached, and those toddlers suddenly turn into angry, possessive monsters. Even if we are wise to the ways of the world, there is a part of us that wants to trust and to be worthy of trust. We cannot allow ourselves to become angry or distrustful of everyone because we've been hurt by a few. Some people will make bad decisions, but the decisions in your life are all up to you. And our faith check is, no matter how smart or stealthy a thief is, he will eventually slip up and be captured and punished. Even if you trust with one eye open, continue to trust. Don't allow the bad apples of the world to steal your peace and joy. Instead, place your confidence in Christ alone. Live in faith, not fear. And today's quote is from Abraham Lincoln. It's kind of on a piece of denim-looking paper. It says, What kills the skunk is the publicity it gives itself. That's pretty deep. You have to think about that for a moment. We have some prayer requests, and I'm thinking that we'll just say them as we pray. So if you pray with me, dear Lord, I hold up to you today this show and the words in it, that they'll be your words and your thoughts. And we're praying for Margaret, who is praying for her mom, and they just found a tumor in, they want to take it out tomorrow. And we pray for a son who is not feeling well and needs your help. And Lord, we're going to pray for David today. David is struggling with loneliness and physical pain and feeling like God has not provided him a life partner, and we pray for him that just the perfect life partner will come along. And we pray for Natalie. She's experiencing a cough and a lot of pain in her chest. And we're praying for Mariama. She wants a child. And all of these prayer requests, Lord, we hold up to you in faith that you will work your perfect will. We also praise you. We are so grateful that you sent your son to save us, and we can't believe the gift that he gave us. Help us to just continually turn our focus on you and let the peace that passes all understanding flood our hearts today. Thank you so much, Jesus, for hearing our prayers. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! It's art and crafts. And I often wondered why we should even have this section in our show, and I'm going to tell you why. And that is because we were created in God's image, and God is a creator God. So there is that element in each of us that loves to create, and it's actually a spiritual thing. So you can think, well, I want to really teach my child Bible class, but did you know that in your teaching of arts or doing crafts that you can really bring in a lot of lessons about the Creator God? We're going to spend a few weeks on sculpting. I thought we could just start with something very simple like 3D paper sculpture techniques. So if you go to my Pinterest site, you will see there in my board, on my sculpting board, a poster. And that poster has, examples of all the things that you can do with paper. You can do rolls, loops, curls, tabs, fringes, curled fringes, pleated fringes, pleats, cut on the fold, spirals, both circular, square, and triangular spirals, cones, rectangular prisms, triangular prisms, slits and slots, crimper, and scored. And there's probably more than that. And you can just tell by what I've said that there's a lot of connections, especially when you're building rectangular prisms, triangular prisms. And so as you look at that poster, you might want to connect it with geometry and help your students get the feel of the three dimensions of geometry when you are finding surface area and volume and all of that. And of course, a cone is also a geometric shape. Anyway, you'll see a lot of geometric shapes there that are three-dimensional and help your child have tools as they begin a unit on paper sculpting. And I love that idea. I hope you love it as much as I do, and we'll keep talking about it for a few shows. So paper sculpting is what we're introducing today, and please go to my Pinterest site. My call letters are mrgamblin2 at Pinterest. Okay, well, that concludes our arts and crafts. Today in our curriculum corner, we're going to speak about what a seventh grader needs to know to go into the eighth grade. And we're going to discuss the topic of reading. Reading, language arts, it covers a number of things from spelling to comprehension to being able to read and setting any learning disabilities aside. This is what a child needs to know. And then I'm going to talk briefly about if they have learning disabilities. So a child should be able to read approximately 95 words per minute. They need to recognize punctuation and pause at commas and do longer pauses, maybe a 3-second pause at periods. They need to change the inflection of their voice in dialogue. And these are real important skills that I think everyone coming out of elementary school or middle school should have. So we just, at the eighth grade, we really refine that process. And then comprehension. Can they anticipate what's going to happen? Can they pick up on the nuances and clues that the author is giving them? Can they repeat back to you the idea of a passage or a paragraph? One of the cool things that I have my students often do is write a gist paper. And so take like 10 paragraphs and tell them too that when they're doing these 10 paragraphs, that the conversation, even though it's indented, is not counted in the count. The conversation complete as a whole can be one paragraph. So you could say for the gist of that conversation. So a gist is just simply one sentence telling you what that paragraph was about. So if you do 10 paragraphs, then you should have 10 sentences telling you basically what those 10 paragraphs were about. So one paragraph might be the author was setting the stage by describing what demographics of the area. And then they had a conversation about blah, 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 blah. And then the action happened or something like that. I hope that this is clear what a gist paper is. It's spelled G-I-S-T. It's just the gist of what they're reading. And it's a great tool for understanding if they're understanding. It's a great tool for comprehension. And it also helps when they're doing book reports and things like that. They also need to be able to read more formal writing, like a newspaper article, a magazine article. You would be surprised at how many students in the eighth grade cannot understand an article that's written in a magazine like, National Geographic. It's just, they just don't understand it. They just haven't had enough practice reading that kind of material. So we want them to be able to do that. And I think if you just focus on them reading a lot, they'll be very good readers by the time they're ready for eighth grade. So one of the questions that came in was, can I see pictures of organized homeschool space? And I just have one thing to say, and that is your homeschooling area can be your dining room table. It can be part of your family room. It can be all over the house. It can be outside. It can be in the garage. It can be in the attic. That's the beautiful thing about homeschooling. It's nice to create a space, but education, and if you're doing it right, will be full of clutter and it'll look messed up a lot of the time. But it's the fact that you can homeschool in a cozy environment that counts, with lots of nurturing and love. And that's my advice. The guest that I have in the last part of the show is Jana Scott, and she has written three books, Standing on the Wall. There's one that is specifically for statesmen. There's another one that is for pastors, and then a people's version. And we're going to talk about all three of them when we come back. We'll be right back. Like a little child. As adults, we understand faith, that's in quotation marks, is the human response to trust in God and enjoy a loving personal relationship. The question of infant faith is not, are infants capable of receiving this jolt of divine power? The question is, can this infant respond to another person? Do infants have personal relationships? And the answer to this question is obviously yes. Infants, even in utero, learn to respond to a mother's voice, to manifest trust of their parents, and distinguish strangers from members of the family. If infants can trust and distrust human persons, why can't they trust God? Like a little child. For more information, go to homeschoolcompanion.org. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion, or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783, or call us at 301-824-3162. Welcome back. I'm here with Jana Scott, and she is a minister of the gospel. She's a strategist, planner, advisor, public policy expert. Jana Scott has served in many capacities with faith, government, business, and the nonprofit community. Jana is passionate about praying for the United States of America, its elected and appointed leaders, and the people of this great nation. God's assignment on Jana's life has included ministry to and with people at all levels of society, from the homeless to high-ranking state and federal elected and appointed government officials, both in the U.S. and abroad. She currently serves as a preacher, a spiritual ambassador, and teacher of the gospel of Jesus. Welcome to our show.
Thank you so much.
So, first of all, sometimes we forget to pray for our nation. Why should we? I mean, God knows. Why should we pray?
Well, first and foremost, I want to thank you for allowing me this time on the show. I'm so grateful to be able to talk about these books, and especially about God's heart for his people to pray, particularly for those who are in high government official positions. As you know, in the Word, in a couple of places, in Timothy and in the book of Romans, the Lord admonishes us to pray for those in authority over us so that we can live a peaceable life in all goodliness and holiness. So that, I think, is one of the main reasons. The other thing is that even if we're not praying for elected officials, if we're praying for one another, it brings us in closer communion with the Father. And I believe that is his heart, to bring his people back into communion with him.
You know, I'm looking at the book itself. It's small. You can hold it with one hand. It doesn't really tire you, which is nice because, you know, sometimes you don't have connectivity. You can't read your cell phone. And this little book, you can. The table of contents starts with, on the Pastors and Faith Leaders edition, it starts with Part 1, the United States of America. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And your first chapter is called A Gaping Hole. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, we believe, and when I say we, I want to honor those who labored in this book with me. There are a group of intercessors around the country who pray together all the time. I'm a longtime member, almost 25 years now, of the JGM International Prayer Life Institute, and also a couple years member of the Global Prayer Network. And we talk about how, even though we have a national constitution, there is a hole in the spirit of our country. This isn't something that happened overnight, or even with the last or current administration. This is something that goes back, way back, even to the Civil War times, even to the times of founding of our nation. There was a time when people in this country really held on to the Spirit of God. We really depended on the Spirit of God to govern the affairs of men. And that gaping hole that has been worn into the fabric of our society is that gaping hole of the spiritual detachment of our nation from the Word of God and from really just hungering after the presence of God. I'm talking about nationwide. Yes. We still have a remnant, and thank God for the remnant of intercessors, pastors, people of faith in this country who still hold on to that presence of God and His Word. But over time, and you can see it in the culture.
It's true. Yes, it's so true. I think that when we have, I think that we've almost had the separation of churches and state used in this negative way, that we're not even supposed to equate anything spiritual with the government. But yet, if you look at the history of the Constitution, it's all based on biblical principles, every
yes.
single tenet.
Yes, and we talk about that in the book a little bit, where we take each of those principles in the preamble and we show where those men of God, those men, the founders of this country, had to be looking to the Word of God. And even Ben Franklin says that God governs the affairs of men. But things like the tranquility and the common defense and all of the things that they talk about in the preamble, you can see that it's scripturally based.
Now, you designed the book physically because of what the statesmen carry around. You showed me they carry around a size of the Constitution that you can put in a purse or put in a pocket. And they carry that around. So this book is that same size, a little mm-hmm. bit thicker, mm-hmm. but that same size. Mm-hmm. It also is the same size as a cell phone. Mm-hmm. So that's really cool. I mean, there was really thought into why a book this would be created this size, because it matches the copy of the Constitution that each statesman is required to carry around with them.
I want to share a little bit about that, because
yeah.
that was really an unctioning and a command from the Lord. And I had the first publisher that started to work with me on this. There was a little pushback because she kept saying, that's going to increase the cost of printing because it's not the regular size
yeah.
of print. But I stuck to it because the Lord told me, if you make it this size, it would be so much easier for the statesmen to be able to put it in their vest pocket, for the women who are in leadership to put it in their purse, so that during those times when they go into those intense policy hearings or when they're before the people and about to make some major law, there might be a prayer in here that can help them discern the will of God for that very moment.
Yes, I was interested in watching the impeachment trial of President Trump, and I wonder if, you know, if this book was in there with statesmen. They couldn't bring in cell phones, but could they bring in this book?
They could have.
You'll never know.
I won't know.
That's how our ministries are. We don't know the end result. God calls us to do something, and then we do it.
Yes.
But we often even don't live to see the fruit of our labor.
God did give me just a glimpse at the National Prayer Breakfast. This is a breakfast that's been going on since the times of President Eisenhower. And every single president has attended. They are not the keynote speaker, but they do speak after the keynote speaker. And then there are other events that go on around it. But one of the congressmen who spoke at one of the events later that day, he had something in his hand. I couldn't see if it was, I mean, his room of 3,000 people. But he began to say the words that appear in the prayer for the preservation of the nation. And if you don't mind, I'd just like to share just a little bit of that.
Yes, I would love it.
It's actually on page 44 of the book. And I won't read the whole thing, but I want to share with you what he said that it made me think. I wonder if he's been looking at my book. And this is a former congressman, but he's very close to the nation's Senate chaplain, who also received copies of the book, so that as he prays for elected officials, I'm hoping he'll read some of it too. And the part that he read was, and he wasn't actually reading it, but he said, "We must, to determine where America's strength lies, where the nation may be at risk, and where principal resources must be applied. This concept also applies to the spiritual state and future of the nation. And by wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, we can discern where the nation is strong, where it is at risk, and where to appropriately apply the spiritual resources of intercession." And then he added to that, "so that the nation can be preserved." So it was just a glimpse.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that this is a novel concept. Many people have talked about this. So he may have been saying it from something else. But the Lord just gave me a glimpse. It was either a glimpse of he's seen your book, or it's a glimpse of you're on the right track. So
yes.
I praised God for that.
Yes. So our listeners, where can they go to support this ministry?
Well, we asked them first and foremost to support us in prayer, that the Lord would do with these versions what he has intended, and that nothing would be able to stand in the way of it. They can go to the website of the publisher, www.fiestapublishing.com. That's again, www, and then the word Fiesta, which is F-I-E-S-T-A, publishing.com.
Well, we've come to the end of our show. Thank you so much for being with us. I look forward to interviewing you again soon, because we just have only touched the tip of the iceberg. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.